This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. The Smithsonian website has a powerful quote about art. It reads, "Art can help us understand our history, our culture, our lives, and the experience of others in a manner that cannot be achieved through other means. It can also be a source of inspiration, reflection, and joy." Wow. Art really is everything. So in this week's cover story, we're going to focus on art as a basic human need. Our Amanda Nimmer takes a serious tone on art expression, and we have stories on an upcoming film series at the Thrasher Opera House, the Ice Sheets on the Great Lakes. We'll look at the Veterans Art Institute, and the Labonte brothers bring you some terrific musical art. And of course, Pete Schwabe has an extremely quotable classic cinema pick of the week. We open this issue of New Wisco Weekend with Terry Barr, who tells us about a Green Bay man's dream to create art in the digital space and how a recent project has him earning a lot of attention. Here's Terry.
Thanks, Lisa. Landon Jones could make his type of art anywhere, but he chooses to stay in Northeast Wisconsin, where he's making a name for himself through his Green Bay company, Respect. And it's spelled R-S-P-K-T. Now, to meet Landon where he is today, we'll start by going backwards. And nothing about his story is boring.
I went to UW-Milwaukee for 2 years. I was going for healthcare administration. But on the side, I'd just be working on Photoshop, different creative apps. And I started to meet people who needed creative services, mostly in the music industry. I found that my passion was more in the creative field. Just took the jump, dropped out, and just started pursuing that.
So Landon is a visual artist using his talents related to photography and video, and it supports the work of others. He recently took a leap, and I mean a big leap, and created a commercial for Doritos. But it's a contest, and the winning video, and again I'm talking about Doritos, will be seen during the Super Bowl. Listen to his creation process.
It's called That's Bold. I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it. I just try and think of different scenarios playing out. Obviously not all based in like reality. Yeah. What could be ridiculous or like just interesting that makes somebody laugh? And I was like, well, what if my hand got bigger? Okay, well, what would happen if I ate it if that effect happened? Okay, the head would get bigger. I mean, the production on the budget side, it was pretty simple. You know, most of it, it's just over the years, just learning lighting, just having firmer grasp on the fundamentals and composition and stuff like that. I think that's where it appears really professional. You know, I'm just enjoying this whole process. Doritos, their whole team has been super cool. Even in this competition, just looking at some of the people we're going up against, production companies, you know, feels really good. And just to be like in that echelon.
An echelon of thousands narrowed to 25. Landon's very creative Doritos video is still in the running. But just this week, the announcement, and then there were three. Landon, not one of the finalists. He is still really proud of his effort, and he has some new plans.
Do stuff with brands, like national brands, global brands. Offer a platform for aspiring creatives from this area. I love my city. You know, I grew up here, born and raised. You know, I want to make something here.
Now, considering what he's already done, Landon is on his way with his digital art. If you want to check out his Doritos commercial, and yes, we suggest you check it out, you can find a link to it and much more on our websites in a story all about him at wgbw.fm and wiss.fm. I don't know, Lisa, Landon is a wonderfully art-focused story. I think we're going to want to keep an eye on him.
Absolutely, Terry. And again, you can find Landon's story and a link to the video he made made for Doritos on our websites, WGBW.FM and WISS.FM. You can also watch and vote for your favorite from the top three at DoritosCrash.com. And by the way, the winner of the Doritos video contest earns a trip to the Super Bowl, the ad played during the game, and a $1 million prize. This week's issue of New Wisco Weekend is focusing on art as a basic human need, and one person who discovered that more than anyone else is Laura Taylor. Correspondent Conrad Krieger has her story.
If you or a loved one are a veteran, this will interest you. Laura Taylor from the Veteran Art Institute talks about how art for veterans creates good mental health.
I am a Navy veteran. I have been working in our area with the community and with different veterans throughout our area as an artist and also as a volunteer for several different organizations. So I like to share with everybody that I was an F-14 and an F-18 fighter jet plane captain.
Taylor shares her passion for art and how she started giving back to the veteran community.
So I started with doing a lot of different portrait work. Around the community, I was volunteering, doing different activities throughout the area, and I started taking photos of veterans doing their continued service, whether it would be through the Patriot Guard riders and they were standing side for one of our fallen veterans, or it would be from a parade that they were walking the parade, and I started taking photographs of them. And from there, I did portrait artwork. So I used mediums of oil as well as art markers. Are kind of a fan favorite of mine. And I started tracking down these veterans after I created the works of art and gifting them to them.
Taylor talks about how the Veteran Art Institute was founded and what her plans are moving forward.
My current project is I've taken a lot of my fine art and I've moved it to a greater scale. My goal now is to help a broader audience. And so we have developed, it's called the Veteran Art Institute, and it's a nonprofit. So it's theveteranartinstitute.org. And this is an online platform for veterans to be able to go and upload their artwork, show and exhibit their artwork online, as well as link to their social media and link to any point of purchases that they may have to sell their artwork. So we started out with about 10 artists, and we launched this website on 11/11 of 2023. And we started with about 10 artists, and now we are currently at, we have 450 artists that are registered in our veteran community, and we are sharing over 150 online artists are sharing their artwork and exhibiting, wow. And that represents over 2,200 works of art.
There are many veterans signing up for the Veterans Art Institute to get their artwork shown in exhibits and keep their mental health positive.
Yeah, every day we have new artists that are registering and signing up with us. We receive probably anywhere from, I think we're between like 2 and 7 artists are joining us a day. We're doing this on very little funding. Almost everything has been done in kind, including the development software, which was done by a company out in Oregon area, who is also a Marine veteran. In addition to being able to have just artists upload their artwork, we also host online exhibits. One thing we're finding is that we're able to partner with different VAs and we're able to share their exhibits that they're doing, but we can bring it to an online platform. VeteranArtInstitute.org. We are currently seeking corporate sponsorship and donations are always welcome. Every $10 that's donated allows us to bring on a new artist and bring on more educational opportunities.
That was Laura Taylor from the Veterans Art Institute. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Our commentator, Amanda Nimmer, usually takes a humorous look at things. But this week on New Wisco Weekend, she's very serious about art expression.
Whenever we need to escape from reality, we turn to art. Art is more than just a pretty picture. Art is simply an idea that came from the mind and became a reality. Art is an escape. It's a way to address trauma. It's a way to express feelings, and it's a way to sometimes feel. A way to take a break, a way to be happy, a way to relate. Mentally raise your hand if you've ever just needed an escape. Anytime you turn to an outlet like that, television, film, books, music, video games. That is all because of art. And that form of expression is so important, not only to the artists themselves, but to the people who use and see it every single day. We need that form of expression to get through the times. And that's why, after this weekend, it really is a major, utter bummer that TikTok is being banned. TikTok grew exponentially during the COVID lockdowns because we were all stuck and just wanting to connect. Heck, Leslie Jordan started making videos just to relate to other people while he was in lockdown in his home. And it blew up. People adored it because they needed something to take their mind away from the cruel reality we sometimes live in. So say what you will about the app. Have your opinions. But we can all at least come to an agreement that the communities that were built through it, the relationships, the ways to cope, it's a massive bummer that people are losing those. And yeah, there are other apps out there, but you know what? It's not the same. And for some people, change is hard. In fact, change can be so hard that sometimes we have to use art to get through it.
I'd like to end this episode with a little excerpt from Jim Carrey when he was on the Hollywood Reporter's Comedy Actor Roundtable in June of 2019.
And I'd like you to truly listen to the way that he talks about art and his form of expression and how he needs it. And maybe we can just empathize a little bit with people who are losing their form of expression and understand the importance that art can have in a person's life.
I act because I'm broken in a lot of pieces. And acting gives me a chance to reconfigure those pieces into a thousand different things that are positive for people to watch. Pretty much, that's what I do. Every trauma, and I could, you know, build a ladder to the stars with the things that have happened or the things that I've had to endure, but they've all turned into something really creative.
Wow.
You know, the worst injury I've ever had, I went to the art studio and I made a painting, you know, and I sat there and I went, I wish people could be here to see what that process is, what happens to an artist when they get hurt. You know, they don't try to lash out most of the time. They try to turn it into a bouquet of flowers. That's what I want to do.
You can go to thehollywoodreporter.com to find the full 75-minute interview, or you can click the link on New Wisco Weekend's blog at wgbw.fm and wiss.fm. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray, look out on a summer's day, with eyes that know the darkness in my soul, shadows on the hills.
When we come back, our cover story on art as a basic human need. But first, research shows students of all ages who are engaged in the arts have higher grade point averages, and the big improvements can really be seen in math and reading. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, looking at lake ice, and a film series is coming to Green Lake. First, here's Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week, sure to bring you a chuckle or two.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week.
This week, the magic of movies takes us to Idaho for a dynamite little film that introduces us to characters named Kip, Uncle Rico, Pedro, La Fonda, and of course the title character, Napoleon. Napoleon Dynamite is an offbeat, quirky, and incredibly unique comedy that was released in 2004. probably barely old enough to be a classic, but a classic nonetheless. The film is set in rural Idaho, in the world of Napoleon, an awkward, to say the least, teenager just trying to fit in and convince people he's cool, his 32-year-old brother Kip, who is constantly scoping for girls on the internet, Pedro, Napoleon's loyal sidekick who runs for student body president against popular mean girl Summer. If you've never seen the film and have been wondering what all those Vote for Pedro t-shirts were all about, there you go. And of course, there is Napoleon's Uncle Rico, who continues to search for the soulmate who got away. Uncle Rico is played by John Grise, who was a recent guest on Nightlight and had as much fun being part of the film as we did watching it. In one scene, he convinces Napoleon and Kip to watch a home movie of him throwing a football near his van.
Hey, you guys want to see my video? Yeah. So what do you think?
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Oh, man, I wish I could go back in time. I'd take state.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
Napoleon, like anyone can even know that.
You know what, Napoleon? You can leave.
Napoleon Dynamite is all about acceptance and finding your place in the world, a world we might not always feel like we belong in, but thanks to good friends, a little courage, and some sweet dance moves, we figure out a way to connect. This little film took the festival circuit and indie film theaters by storm, and took home, if not some of the most prestigious awards, definitely some of the cooler awards, like MTV's Best Movie, Best Feature at the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival, and it was also nominated for the Sundance Grand Jury Prize. Not a bad first outing for writer-director Jared Hess, who went on to direct the not-so-classic Nacho Libre and is helming the upcoming Minecraft movie. Moving forward, I'm not sure anything Hess directs will ever have the charm of Napoleon Dynamite, but that's all the more reason to check out this week's classic movie. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
As ice forms on the Great Lakes, it starts to look like a work of art. The ice sheets are breathtaking, and so are the temperatures needed to form it. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us why ice coverage is important.
Every year since 1973, scientists have tracked the amount of ice coverage over the five lakes that make up the Great Lakes. The extent and thickness of the ice coverage can have a significant impact on the Great Lakes ecosystem, as well as on human activities. Ice provides a protective layer that helps insulate the water below from the cold air, which can affect the mixing of nutrients and oxygen within the water. And in turn, that can impact the growth and survival of aquatic plants and animals. And with open waters, more fresh water is lost. In winter, it's in the form of sea smoke. What's happening is the layer of warm water on the surface is being cooled rapidly by the Arctic air mass and condenses, forming vapor. This slowly reduces the amount of water within the lake. So, if the water is frozen, it's locked in. Plus, towns like Hurley in northern Wisconsin want a break from the relentless snowfall, especially by February. They typically see 200 inches of snowfall a season, because every single time the winds blow in cold from the north, those certain areas are hit hard, with a mini snowstorm off of the lake. But once the waters freeze over, that lake effect snowfall stops. Ice is also a buffer from powerful winter storms. It stops massive waves from destroying lake shores. In addition, the ice can affect navigation and shipping on the Great Lakes, as well as recreational activities like ice fishing, skating, and snowmobiling. Ice coverage on the Great Lakes has declined by more than 70% since the early 1970s, and that decline is likely to continue in the coming decades as temperatures continue to rise. This has important implications for the Great Lakes ecosystem, as well as for people who depend on the lakes for their livelihoods and recreation. To start off 2025, the lake's basin-wide ice coverage was just 1.2%. And after last week's cold snap, it jumped to 13%. And with the current frigid cold, it'll keep growing. The average ice cover for this time of year is typically 22%. So we need more. Shallower lakes are the first to freeze over, including Erie and Huron, while the larger and deeper lakes hold on to their heat longer. Right now, Lake Superior's south shore is freezing over, with Shawamigan Bay completely covered. That puts them at 6% coverage, nearly 9% away from where they should be this time of year. And on Lake Michigan, mainly the Bay of Green Bay is icing up, with 12% coverage, down 5% from expected right now. And with plenty of open water still left on the Great Lakes this season, bouts of lake effect snow have been triggered across northern Wisconsin and into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Which, the only good news from that is for the snowmobile trails located along them. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Collaborate and listen. I sit back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance.
The Thrasher Opera House excels in bringing music to the area. And now it brings a film series to Green Lake.
All of the films that we are welcoming in have a direct correlation to us somehow.
That's Thrasher Marketing Director Jason Mansmith. He said with this film series, the Opera House is going back to its roots.
So when this place was built in 1910 by Charlie Thrasher, it was a community gathering place, but they also showed movies here. Silent movies, piano player, all those kind of things that go along with it. Then the talkies came along.
The first film of the series will be Thursday, February 6th. It's Jazz Fest, a New Orleans story. It weaves together live performances and interviews from the 50th anniversary of that iconic festival.
But one of the performers in that movie is Tab Benoit. Tab's conveniently playing here on February 22nd at Thrasher Opera House.
The second film in the series is February and will be shown Monday, February 24th. February tells the story of a recent Mexican immigrant who struggles to fit into a small town in Wisconsin until he discovers ice fishing. Mansmith says this film, too, has a connection to the Thrasher Opera House.
You've got to do a movie called February in February, right? So this movie is actually directed by Nathan Deming, and his aunt, Lisa, is involved with the Green Lake Festival of Music. And the Green Lake Festival of Music also works with us here at Thrasher Opera House.
The final film in the series will be The Lo-Fi Life by Kurt Sensenbrenner, Thursday, May 29th. The Lo-Fi Life is an animated documentary comedy web series about living with PKU. It's a rare metabolic disorder that inhibits a person's ability to break down protein. People with PKU, like Kurt Sensenbrenner, the series director, must adhere to a strict, low-protein diet of fruits and vegetables. For reference, a non-PKU person consumes about 60 grams of protein a day. Kurt can only have 7.
Well, Kurt's from Ripon. He's a great filmmaker that's not only done this film, but other films as well, too. So we have these local connections to all these fantastic films.
Whether you're a movie buff or looking for a unique date night, this series has something for everyone, says Mansmith. All of the films are free to attend. The doors open at 5 p.m. and the films start at 6. For more information, visit ThrasherOperaHouse.com. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. In just a moment on New Wisco Weekend, we've got our cover story. We'll be back right after the news.
Word to your mother.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm your host, Lisa Hale. We come now to the time for our cover story. And today it's an interview with a couple of people who really believe that art is a basic human need. I am thrilled to be joined right now by the Grand Oshkosh Director, I almost called you Executive Director, but you're also the President and CEO, Joe Furlow, and Community Relations Manager, Molly Templin, both from the Grand Oshkosh. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Something, Joe, you just mentioned to me offhand one day. We were doing an interview, and you just mentioned that you consider art to be a basic human need. And I really latched onto that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. What is your thought behind that? And why do you think so?
There's actually an evolution. And I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give you the unedited version of how it all came about. There was a period, wow, it was probably 15 or so years ago, that in general, when going out for funding, there was kind of a universal reply, and not just for me, this happened nationwide in the arts, that, sorry, we're only funding basic human needs. And of course, I embrace that. Our whole outreach program is about partners in these areas that are funded. But it occurred to me that the arts needed to be included. It's kind of like when we want to say STEAM instead of STEM. You know, you want to get the arts involved there. So the first time, the first nugget that turned into what is now the Artreach series was a single residency that I called the arts, the other basic human need. And not going to lie, the first thing I did was go back to the company who had said, we only fund basic human needs. And I said, hey, what do you think? And they said, nice try. So I knew it was a movement to be created, you know. You don't have to look far to know what role arts play in mental health. You don't need to look far to know what role the arts play in the general fabric of a community's personality. And so my mission, for what you might call it, is to try to use the arts in discussions about basic human needs. And Artreach did grow from that, and I'm glad it was a nugget that resonated with you. And hopefully it's something that we can, I don't expect to shift a paradigm, you know? But if I can find my way into a conversation, if one organization says, hey, what about the arts? And it doesn't have to be the grant, you know what I mean? If one organization looks at the role that artists are playing in dealing and helping their clientele, then we will have succeeded. It's amazing what will happen. And that's not even counting the part that Molly has jumped into and does so well, which is taking the artists out of the grand and into the community.
Which, great, that I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did want to segue into what... The grand is doing to bring the artists into the community, and that's you, Molly. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really happy you mentioned the sense of escape, because a lot of times I'm telling the organizations I'm working with, right, like, we provide the sense of escape in the building, but we also want to be providing the sense of escape to other people in our community and meeting them where they're at, because there's so many barriers that can stop people from getting that chance to enjoy life a little bit more, and that we get to provide that to them. And it's such a beautiful moment. I've seen literally from people as young as zero, like less than 1 year old, up to 106, getting a break from life and not feeling like the barriers are gone, right? And we get to come to them and we provide them. We've done sensory performances for families that don't feel comfortable going as a family because they don't know what situation they're going into, right? They don't know if it's a safe spot for them. And we get to provide that with a little bit of magic or music or whatever it is. So yeah, it's all about meeting people where they're at. And it's a beautiful thing.
How do you go out into the community? How do you bring your artists out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have artists that already have some pretty good outreach. Like, they call them like outreach menus. Like, they'll be like, we're really good at, you know, connecting with this group of people, or we can scale back our show for a sensory friendly performance, right? Or something like that, where I'll look at that those options and be like, this would be a really good fit for X, or, you know, this would really connect and work well with this elementary school that we haven't like done a lot with. Right. And so it's a lot about connecting with the artists on what groups of people they've worked with before, how, like what's been successful and what we can do to reach the most amount of people in our community. So, well, we have a pretty big list of organizations now that we've been working with. And it's always my goal to keep it growing. Like, I think we should be hitting as many organizations as possible.
So tell me a few, give me a couple examples of some of the outreaches that you have done.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't sure if I should. So let's think. Well, like my favorite one was the Caravelle Autism Health, where we did the Sensory Friendly show for their families. Because it was, I mean, it was stopping tears because so many families came up to me and just thanked me and said, like, we don't get to do this as a whole family, right? We have so many barriers. We also have brought the B twins went to Day by Day shelter, and they, I mean, it was just in there. It was in the old facility, right? And in that gym, and they played, and there was like a 70-year-old woman that like danced with them, and it was just like, oh my gosh. And we work a lot with like Bella Vista Senior Living, and we've done a few different ones. We've done music and magic there, and each time they're always just like, they're like, why'd you come here? And I'm like, because we want to bring you joy. So yeah, I always say we're in the business of bringing joy, and it's really fun to not have any walls around that.
So being in the business of bringing joy, if somebody has an organization like, you know, maybe it's an assisted living facility or a hospital type setting or something like that, or like you said, with the autism group, and they want to say, yeah, you know, we wouldn't mind it if you came here every once in a while. How do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Yeah. My email is mollyt@thegrandoshkosh.org. And I'm always looking for more people, because a lot of people, even if I'm just cold calling them, right, they think that there's a fee involved, and this is completely free. We have a sponsorship from Community First Credit Union, who sponsors the Outreach Series, which is all of these artist residencies where we're able to go out to the community. So there's no cost involved, which is often where people go, oh, I don't want to like find out more because I don't want to commit to anything. But yeah, like, I'm always open for, more people.
It's really kind of part investigative and part matchmaker. Because years ago, when we tried to put this sort of thing together, artists would say, yes, we do outreach. And really what they did was a 20-minute version of their show, right? It wasn't necessarily that way. Mm-hmm. And then as the artists lived their lives, the artist I brought in back in the day learned his skills in the chemo wards because his wife was a cancer victim. And he learned it as he was going through it with her. One of our artists is coming in, and he's become an expert at the cognitive powers of his magic. And he learned it because he had a serious brain injury, and he used his own skills to find his way out. And then he went off and got a PhD, not in the arts, in his work with, and so as artists start to, as I'm shopping and find the skill sets that they have and the abilities that they have, I kind of throw that all Molly's way. And then exactly what you said, the people we've worked with, but also the people who have reached out, if we find the right fit. And the right fit is important, because in my time, I've brought people into situations where I thought they would shine. And as it turns out, the situation was triggering for the performer, who would be unaware of that. And then the performer inadvertently would trigger the people that they were trying to help. Mm-hmm. So now that's when I learned that having someone like Molly, who advances all of this work, mm-hmm. and says, what is it you're looking for? And then gets with the artist and makes sure that we have conversations at the beginning of the process so that all the expectations are managed and dealt with as we go. It's the last thing you want to do is go out and try to be helpful and not be, and it's really possible to do without the dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, if an artist has like really good mental health programming maybe, right? And then, but if you take them to like the women's shelter thinking that'd be really helpful, they might not want to be almost lectured to, right? Where it's still a really engaging thing, but they might just want the release of their situation, not being reminded of where they're at.
At the same time, I've seen putting the artist in the correct place for dialogue. And I've learned something about an artist that I've known for decades through the process of them working with and speaking with and spending time with the people that they're helping along. And I've had people before, B-Twins have been that way. She had a good example. But before the B-Twins, I brought a pianist, classical pianist, by the name of Alpen Hong into the shelter. And he played, and we came out of the shelter, and, you know, and he talked to people. And he said, I felt like I helped them, for that little bit of time, achieve dignity. He said, thank you. Thank you. He's thanking me for thinking of it and giving him the chance to go off and play in this, you know. So it's very collaborative, you know. And once we know what, you know, at that moment when people who are down on their luck are hearing from the people who raised themselves out of the slums of Brazil, saying to them, press on, press on, you know, don't give up. How is that not a basic human need being serviced by the arts? You know what I mean?
Learn more about the Grand Oshkosh and their outreach programs and services by visiting thegrandoshkosh.org.
Late at night, when it's dark and cold, I'll reach out for someone to hold. When I'm blue, when I'm lonely, she comes through. She's the only one who can. My baby Gran is all I
This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Do you know a high school student who's interested in both art and nature? They may want to enter the design competition for next year's State Park Passes. Melissa Kay has the story.
High school students can submit designs for next year's Wisconsin State Park and Forest Vehicle Admission Passes. This is for all high school age students in Wisconsin. The artwork should focus on outdoor recreation, animals, or plants in the state. Steve Schmelzer is the Parks and Recreation Management Bureau Director. He said this is a great opportunity for students to blend their artistic passion and interest in our natural resources. He's grateful for all of the students who submit artwork and said it's never an easy choice to pick just one design. The vehicle admission passes provide access to more than 60 state park, forest, and recreation area properties across Wisconsin. The design contest is open now through April 30th.
Thank you, Melissa. Coming up in just a moment, the Labonte brothers share their musical art. But first, did you know that researchers say a high concentration of arts in a city leads to more civic engagement and better connected communities? And here's another fun fact related to art. The Mona Lisa has her own mailbox in the Louvre because of all the love letters she receives. Over the years, many have fallen prey to the portrait's limpid and burning eyes, leaving her offerings of flowers, poems, and yes, even love notes. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. The final segment on New Wisco Weekend is always a musical feature. This week, we have the Labonte brothers. They're an up-and-coming brother duo inspired by family with a goal to get people up and dancing with some country music. Recently, they were a guest on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show. And here's a bit of their appearance.
My name is Derek.
And this is?
My name is Brett.
And we're the Levante Brothers.
You're new on the scene.
We've been playing together since the basements of our house. I mean, just jamming.
Really?
We worked ourselves up from the basement to the living room to the garage.
Wow.
My graduation party was the first time, high school graduation party, was the first time I ever played in front of people. And I played, and then I remember looking at my dad, and my dad looks at me and he goes, "So that's what you've been working on." Yeah. Right. So I was like, "Nice." Yeah. So all the times we were downstairs jamming and stuff, he'd open the door and be like, "Quiet." Yeah. And then I was learning from YouTube. He learned from, he had a class in middle school that he took, and we just decided, you know what, we should do this together. So we've been playing together for the past 2 years now.
Great.
Been doing shows together. It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, the stuff that we get to do together, playing these places, creating memories, making people smile, have a good time. That's what it's all about. We play a lot of covers at our shows and a lot of country music, a lot of music that's hopefully going to get you up and dance, smile, grab the person next to you and give them a big old hug.
Nice.
And dance. That's the way we grew up. In honor of Friday, we'll play an Eric Church song, Drink in My Hand. So...
Early Monday morning till Friday at 5, man, I work, 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 Lord, I don't climb, climb, climb.
Boss man can shove that overtime up his can. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand
and fill it up, I'll throw it down. Got a 40-hour week, we're the trouble to drown. No need to complicate it, I'm a simple man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. Yeah, the parking lot is muddy, can't get to the door. I'll take my jacked up dropper down in 4x4.
Chill down a long neck, warm up the band. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand
and fill it up, I'll throw it down. I'm about to tear a new one in this old town. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm a rocket man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
Make me wanna go ooh, ooh, ooh. When you dance like that, you got that little tattoo playing peekaboo on your back.
Yeah, if you wanna impress me, baby, here's my plan. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand and fill it up, I'll throw it down. When you drop me off, take the long way around. You be my Lois Lane, I'll be your Superman. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
My head, Monday morning, that alarm clock says, goes bang, 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 while it ring, ring, rings.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll if you wanna rock again. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand and fill it up, I'll throw it down. Got a little hungover, still hanging around. Yeah, that hair of the dog is howling, hey there, man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. That hair of the dog is howling, hey there, man.
All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
Ah, ooh, yeah.
That was great.
Phenomenal. That
was great. Awesome.
Yeah. Tell me who inspired you, though.
The main influence that we both had was our great Uncle Roy. He is hence passed, but growing up, going to family events and stuff like that, he would come out and just kind of whip out his guitar and play for everybody at family reunions or just get-togethers and stuff like that. And
we started like building up with him. So we'd go to his basement sometimes as well, and he would just teach us a G chord, C chord a lot, and like how to really find a rhythm. So being kids, like watching, we'd sit cross-legged and just be mesmerized. We wanted to be just like him.
How proud
like
him. Would he be of you guys right now?
I think he would be a little floored that we're on the radio right now. That's for sure. Like I said, we play music because we saw it from him and the joy and the smiles and the laughter. I mean, music can bring people together.
You wrote a song about your dad. You've lost your dad.
Family is a big deal. I mean, losing our father too, and being able to write that song is about our deer camp and our favorite place in the world. And just how nothing's changed. We're just missing you. Father passed when I'm 10 years ago, and I stopped playing for a while because that was kind of a big thing too. He'd always be standing in the corner up at camp being like, play that one song, Play that one song. Play it.
There was never that one song.
Yeah, it was never that one. We never knew what song he wanted.
And yeah, no matter what song we played, it'd always be, nah, that wasn't it. No.
Yeah,
it was that one that
as
went like.
Once you get through the entire song.
I mean, yeah. No, it's the one that goes like, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
yeah.
Let's just play this one.
Okay, yeah, but here's what I want you to know. He's always in your corner. And he is still requesting that song.
He is. But when we got back together, I actually started getting back into it. Had to knock off some of the rust. And I mean, now it's just a snowball effect.
Well, my buckle makes impressions on the inside of her thigh. There are little feathered Indians where we tussled through the night. If I'd known she was religious, then I wouldn't have came stoned to the house of such an angel, too messed up to get back home. Looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked, ain't anybody told you that them things are bad for you? I said, many folks have warned me, there have been several people try, but up till now there ain't been nothing that I couldn't leave behind. And hold me close, my dear, sing your whispering songs softly.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale, with lead correspondent Terry Barr and features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, and Peach Schwaba, plus commentator Amanda Nimmer. This week's issue featured special appearances by John Mino, Jim Schmidt, and Nikki Z. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.